Morning, everyone. Delighted to have you here. I'd like to call the November 6th meeting, a work session of the Berkshire County Board of Commissioners. And we always start with a invocation and pledge of allegiance. Commissioner Wright, would you lead us an invocation and pledge?
Sure. I would say. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us all be here today. Please let us lead this meeting and the hearts of the citizens and our own individual devices. To Lord, just thank you for being with us and let us have a great meeting. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Join us up.
Pledge allegiance to the United States of America and to the Republic which stands for a nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Commissioner Wright, and thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us in the pledge. We always open up our meeting with a public comment section. This is an opportunity for citizens to come before us and make any comments that they would like to make. We do ask that you, when you come forward, that you give your name, your address, and limit your comments to 3 minutes. And we always have another public comment section at the end of our meeting. So if you missed that opportunity or something comes up during the meeting, if you'd like to have questions about, you can always do that at the near the conclusion of our meeting. So with that, I'll open the floor for any public comments. Yes, please. Come forward. One.
We live an active lifestyle, and that was one of the many reasons that has attracted us to Bertie and O'Connell. Aside from the boating, we were thrilled with the proposed amenities and the opportunity of a clubhouse, which provides a local meeting place to enjoy camaraderie amongst our homeowners and our local Maryhill, Windsor, and Edenton friends. As a real estate agent living and working in Maryhill, the clubhouse is a large draw and a selling feature. We have waited many years for this clubhouse. The new developer promised the groundbreaking for the new clubhouse would begin the spring of 2023. In order to keep my potential buyers informed about the clubhouse, I reached out to Mr. Eskra with Dilwig in July about the status of the clubhouse. In an email from Mr. Eskra, he provided the following explanation. Quote, there are still a couple of portions of the timeline. For example, county utility infrastructure that are not under the developer's control, and therefore we are not able to set a proposed groundbreaking date yet, end of quote. Along those same lines, we recently had some issues with our water. There was a bad odor, and when we filled the glass from the spigot, the water was yellow. I reached out to the Bertie County water official and received the following email response. Quote, we still don't have permission to flush the water lines inside the gates of O'Connell. The ground crew in O'Connell are responsible. End of quote. This is surprising because although our sewer is community owned and maintained, our water bill is sent from Bertie County Water. Which brings me to why I'm here today. So you see, there seems to be some confusion, and my guess is the confusion. This confusion is preventing the promise to the county, the current homeowners of O'Connell, and future residents of Bertie from enjoying what has been promised to us for many, many years. Gentlemen, if I have to guess, the O'Connell Clubhouse could potentially be commercial tax revenue for our county, employment opportunities for our residents, and once built, a draw to bring in more residential property revenue for Bertie. There seems to be some confusion around the responsibility for the utilities for this much needed, long awaited tax revenue commercial building. I'm asking for your help. How do we figure out this excuse of the utility issue? Are there other utilities or development issues that the county may be aware of, preventing the developer from moving forward with their plans? Who can I speak with? What can I do to help? What are our next steps? Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you. First of all, I heard two specific. Specific questions that was first about times, right?
Yes, sir.
And there was two bit of that. And then you asked about utilities in the water in particular. First, I think that the pump issue is really, it's not a county issue. Yeah, it's a county benefit from it, and it kind of, and it chose to do that right after. But whether or not they build it or not, that's the thing with the residents and, you know, the owners of the property. So we would not be involved in that per se. Any development, you know,
it's a good idea.
A great thing. I understand that. And concerning the water, that's a little bit more of a difficult situation because we have had issues there in terms of, you know, the water situation there. But I think that the best way to resolve those, as you attempted to do, was to talk, in fact, with our director, right, of water. Because, you know, if they're, my understanding, at least, and correct me if I'm wrong, the commissioners and county manager, but you know, the responsibility on their property is their responsibility in terms of what you do in terms of flushing. You know, we provide water to the tap, which is at the corner, you know, of your property, right? That's where our liability ends. It goes into you and you flush your systems, unless there's some agreement that I'm not aware of between O'Connell and the county to do that. That would be, you know, and that's not a difficult thing to do. I mean, really open up the valves and flush the water. But, you know, you are then passing water on, and water's not free to anyone, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there would be some charge concerning that.
I think what the confusion is that the developer has pretty much stated in an email that I have with me today that, you know, the utilities seem to be an issue from prohibiting them from moving forward with the development of the clubhouse.
Can I step in here?
Sure.
We're having conversations. And Mr. Terry will ask you one question. That's the water system of O'Connell has not been given to the county, has it not?
And a lot. No, as the plans that have never
been. So is that for the commercial side or the residential side? All of it.
All of it.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken, there's a master meter at the base of the subdivision. The O'Connell subdivision.
There's a sewer maintenance facility there.
Sewer is different than the master meter. Master meter is monitoring how much water goes in. Okay. That's how we double check because the water system itself is there.
Okay.
This time.
Okay.
Does not belong to the county. Would that be a correct statement, Mr. Attorney?
Yes.
Okay. So that's following through with that. Probably 8 years ago, they came to us and they asked it, now not the same company,
sure,
a different company, came to us and wanted us to take over their sewer system. Okay. It was voted against. The county taking over the sewer system, okay? We didn't build it. We don't know how much use we can get out of it because the worst thing is to buy something that is underutilized. And it is underutilized because it's built for about 500 homes, okay? At that time, they probably had 12 or 15 homes.
Mm-hmm.
And it had been through, as you mentioned, numerous owners of that property, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to understand of how to put together, build together, what standards were the whole nine yards. Plus, the county doesn't own any sewer system. The municipalities do, okay? Then they wanted us to build for them. So the reason you got anything that says Burtee County on it was because they asked us, would we at least
bill? Okay. So that helps.
So that's a piece of paper put together by us, okay? And because we're reading the meter form, okay, or actually maybe give us, I don't know that part, but a piece of paper that's going out to the homeowners that are saying,
okay, so I'm gonna walk away from the meeting today, which I appreciate this. I really appreciate it because it's very important because I have an email from Mr. Escra that pretty much puts the onus back on the county. So that's why I'm trying to resolve what the issue is.
That's the reason I keep referring back to our attorney, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and he has agreed with everything that I have said so far. Is that correct, Mr. Attorney?
Yes.
Okay, so that lets you know that the binding deal is with them and not with us. Listen, we would welcome a country club, okay? We would welcome them to build something like that. They even got with us in reference to a convention center to bring us. So that's the deal. So make a long story short, we're in favor of any of them. But again,
and no restrictions from a developmental issue as it relates to the county that you're aware of.
Well, do you know of any restrictions, Mr. Attorney, that we put on Econo? I'm sorry.
We do the same thing, don't worry.
On utilities,
yes. Okay.
But the key is that, you know, we don't do this. So that's responsible.
That's
and
thank you.
Responsibility is what I'd like to
the front gate.
Develop, okay? Mm-hmm. But we do because they ask you to judge correct. But my concern is when they say that it's an issue around utility, does that mean water that means other issues around utility? I don't know. And if they have any, I would suggest that they bring them to us.
Okay.
They're not aware of any issues that they have that would prevent them from doing anything.
Awesome.
So we need more clarity about that.
Yeah, we do. But it was a general statement from Mr. Eskra. Absolutely. But I appreciate your clarification and your time. Absolutely.
This is advice to my answer.
That's awesome. Thank you.
But we appreciate you bringing that to us because we represent you. So we want to make sure that your needs there on that. We represent them as a company there, so we respect that. But you're the citizen, so we want to make sure that your needs are addressed.
Great. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Any other comments? Yes, please. Of course. Give us your name and your address.
I'm Angela Irwin. I live at 110 Beacon Light Church Road, and I'm here because I'm concerned about the animals that are outside 24/7, and I feel that it's neglect, and I would pretty much like to find out how we could change laws where they're not chained out 24/7. I do have an example right here of Precious, which is out in a crate 24/7. And even when she's crying, she's not brought in. And so, I mean, it's getting cold and there are other animals. This is just an example of, you know, what is going on in Brooke County as far as animals not being part of the family. They're just left to be outside all the time. Whether they're being fed or taken care of, nobody really knows. But I think a law should be changed that, you know, if you want animals, that they should not be outside tethered 24/7.
I want to thank you, first of all, for bringing this to us. We have we think it's a very good animal control.
Yeah.
Segment of our campus. And they work diligently to try to address issues, whether it's working with PETA or working with citizens direct, right? So, you know, our concern too, I think everybody on here, animal lovers, right? But, you know, if you're suggesting that we change a law concerning how we do animals, that's an issue that we have to be, you know, looked at more stringently.
Yes, and I was going to say even maybe like a petition to sign so people are aware. You know, I had called animal control regarding two dogs tied to a tree. One was being neglected and the other one was being fed. Animal control came by, so they put the dogs to the back of the property, and the one that they were neglecting is no longer alive anymore, and the other one is, which is sometimes tethered, sometimes roaming around. But when the animal control came, he just made sure that they were fed. They fed them, they left, and then within, you know, maybe 2 to 3 months, the dog is no longer here.
Our responsibility is twofold. First of all, to, you know, we like to encourage all of our citizens, right, to treat animals as they should. We found that to be effective. However, but if people are not doing what they should do, that's why we have, you know, department that come out, look at it, and attempt to make enforcement, right? But I got to tell you that the problem for us is that there are two sides to every issue. We talked about looking at things like whether or not we require animals to, you know, to be tethered or not be tethered. There are always two opposing sides to that issue. And quite frankly, there have been a lot of issues both ways. So we've tried to solve this by saying, how do we help citizens treat animals respectfully? They're in their care, they own them, so that these issues do not come forward, right?
Right. You know, I also do know that there are food pantries for animals. They have dog pantries. So if people are not able to afford to feed their dogs maybe throughout the month, they also need to be aware that there are places they can reach out to yeah. feed their animals. So I just think it's just a little bit of everything. It's not really a fine line. It's just a little bit of everything of the awareness. And
Chair, I'd like to offer you where you can get some assistance from, you know.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Well, excuse me, sir. What was that? That you? Because I'm in the same thing.
That's information that Peter had left with the county, and they've been glad to come by, and they bring dog houses, they bring dog food, they little kittens, cats, and everything for you. So I think the opportunity now to offer this assistance to Peter with whoever needed or wanted, because it's very helpful.
It really is. And I do see them around to let them know that they're there for them. And it is getting colder, so you see more.
Right, and they need that. Okay. Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
I have a question, though. Are we allowed to ask questions? Okay, because I'm a big animal rights advocate, too. I've worked in an animal shelter back in Virginia for almost 8 years. So I have a lot of concern because I just drive down a country road and I see these dogs, like you're talking about, tied out, and it's storming. They have no place to go. They're just in, and it's freezing cold day and night. And like you, all of a sudden, the dog's not there anymore because it's died. There's got to be something where the county, just, you know, for the sake of humanity, does something. There's got to be some type of accountability, you know, encouraging people to do something with no repercussions when they don't do it. That's really a problem. And I understand what you're saying because you're for the citizens and everything, but these poor animals, they have no voice.
But I understand this. There are repercussions anytime that any citizen reports any kind of abuse to animals. We investigate that. And we work very closely with people who bring things to our attention as well. And we try to respond to those things individually. But if you're looking for this county to put a rule in place that we say you cannot tether any animal in this county, I don't think the majority of our citizens would support that.
I'm not asking about the tethering.
So if you say you see animals tethered that you think are not here, that is up to the individual citizen on how they treat an animal that they own. And if they are not doing or treating that animal the way they should, that becomes our responsibility to try to address that. Mm-hmm. But I can't say to every, you know, home owner of a pet that you cannot tether your
pet. I'm not talking about tethering. I'm talking about absolute animal abuse where they're not given shelter, they're not being fed. Mm-hmm. You can count the dog's ribs.
Yes,
you know, that's
the thing happening. Our job is to try to enforce it. But, you know, you cannot legislate good behavior. You can address when people do not behave appropriately.
I think
that's what we try to do.
I guess with all due respect, I think if you made examples of people that are mistreating animals, other people would wake up and say, gee, maybe I need to start feeding this dog or I don't have a dog.
But we do exactly that. And if you pay attention to the times that we filed with the courts to make sure that they enforce people who don't respond, when we go out there and see that they're not doing well, we've got animals taken away from there.
Right, yeah.
Right? And owners actually find that don't do what they should do.
What are the penalties for these people that are, you know, taking the animal is one thing. Like this one person, they let the dog starve to death. I called animal control on it, and the man was nice as he could be. But, you know, what do we have? A huge county, and how many officers we have? they can't possibly address every issue. He came out, looked, well, you know, they said they were feeding him and they put a bowl of food there.
Yeah.
Well, then, you know, a couple days later, there's no bowl of food there. You know, the man can't keep going back to the same place. There should be harsher penalties for animal abusers. And then maybe these people will think twice before they decide to get a dog or a cat and starve it. That's, you know, I just don't get just the being so passive about it. And I guess that's, you know, with all due respect, I find a lot of passivity with it, and nobody seems to really, really care about it.
Well, I'll share this with you. I have a neighbor who was arrested, locked up at full time on mistreating her dog.
Thank God.
Okay, so that's not true that people don't care. You know, people are, they look, some people care about dogs and some don't. But if you mistreat a dog or kid, you are subject to be arrested, and please don't call me the bond man. Okay, because I own a bill on the service.
Okay.
No rule that is placed in the county to protect animals. And when we are made aware of any kind of abuse, we do come out. We do investigate. And if we think that treatment is not addressed, we will file charges. And we do it all the time. But the key is that we cannot be in every place. We try to, and you cannot legislate morality. You cannot.
No,
all you can do is have the rules in place that hold people accountable. When they break them, seriously, that they then pay fines, even perhaps serve time, take animal away from them. All of those things are in place. And we take those things quite seriously. And so there's no right attempt to put anything on the rug or not enforce. But we need to do the money. And I would say to anyone who's aware of any kind of mistreatment of the animal in Virgin County, bring that to our attention and we will address it. I assure you that we will. And we'll address it as rapidly as we possibly can.
My question is, because the animal control was there and they put that dish out and fed that dog that I get called on, and that dog's no longer there. Do I call animal control so they can go check that dog and find out where it is and, it, you know, what happened to it now?
I would say if you still have questions that you want to answer, yes.
Because I know the dog is no longer alive. So I'm just wondering, as you had said, if you know or don't know, would you just call animal control again and let them question how the dog and where is it?
I should that you had called them before. They were interested, I would think they would, you know, be able to tell you what the status of that issue is, as far as we know.
Right. So I'm just saying they probably have to come back out in order to find out what happened to that. Okay.
Thank you. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good
morning. My name is Gary Johnson. I'm the mayor of Roxville. A few months back, the supermarket in Roxville was put up for bid for taxes. And my understanding is, correct me if I'm wrong, that they got no bids, so they kind of bidded it in. And in that situation, at this point, where does it stand? Does the county own that building?
Mayor, I want to ask our attorney to address that.
Hello, Mayor. Jonathan Helston, County Attorney. The county does not own that building. The people who, it's still in the name of the folks that owned it before.
Can you explain to me how that is? It's the county rented it in, but it still belongs to Earl Jones.
Well, the county had the opening bid, but the county never purchased the property. The transaction, the proceeding was terminated. So the county never actually got a deed. The county does not own it.
Okay. Well, now in that situation with the delinquent taxes, and the county obviously dropped the case.
Right. Yeah, there's many other ways for a county to collect property taxes, and they intend to do so in every method available to them. They can do tax refund intercepts. They can seize personal property. They can do various things, but there's no requirement for the county to foreclose on a piece of property. They can take other methods. They do not have to take title from a real estate foreclosure.
And Jackson, the real bottom line for us is that, you know, the county had no interest in owning the property, no interest in it. Now, one of our options was if we had interest in that property, we could have made a bid on it, but we did not. We felt that that should stay the responsibility of the person who owns it, not us. And that's why it's still in their hands.
Okay. Thank you, Ron. Thank you.
Yes, sir, you are.
Good morning. My name is Christopher Richardson. I'm resident from Roxville. And Gary Lara, our mayor, does an excellent job for representing the town. Concerning the building, is the building still up for sale?
Not to tap foreclosure. No, sir, not right now.
It's not.
I mean, you'd have to talk directly to the owners. They owned it before the proceeding was started. They own it now. They're the owners, so
okay. You
can certainly communicate with them about taking title and just checking to see if they're willing to sell it. It'd be directly with them.
Okay.
And I understand your concern.
Okay.
The building is not being but that responsibility is still with the owners.
Okay.
If you guys are not satisfied with the way it's handled, you need to have that conversation.
Okay.
Is
it town interest?
Yeah.
No, family.
Family?
Yeah.
Your family?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Need to be known.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
we tell
you
they all need to be known.
Okay. Well, I'll get back with my brother and let him know, and then I'll get back with y'all, and then we'll go from there. I will. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Great. Follow up or any other citizens have any other issue? Question?
Yeah.
Remember that at the end of our meeting, there will be another public comment session. So if anything towards the meeting, anything in comes to mind, please agree with our All right. So nothing else. We will then go on to our consent agenda. Five items on the consent agenda. I'll address each of them independently. Firstly, the approval of open and closed session minutes for October 16, 2023. What is your pleasure? Motion with Mr. Checker, I second your Commissioner Ballas. All those in favor of approving open and closed session minutes for October 16, please say aye. All those opposed, nay. Thank you. Approved unanimously. Next item is the register of deeds report for October 23, the Pleasure Board. Moved to approve by Commissioner Robinson. Is there a second? By Commissioner Ballas, a second. All those in favor of approving the register of deeds report for October 23, please say aye. All those opposed, nay. Ayes have it unanimous. Next is the approval of the tax release journal for September 23. I believe there's only one issue on there, which adds through 4th. So, what is your pleasure on the tax release journal issue? So, Commissioner Dallas, is there a second by Commissioner Trent? Yes. All those in favor of approving the tax release journal for September 23 and 1. Pass through is in the package. Please say aye. All those opposed, nay. Ayes have it. Thank you. And if you don't have anything else on that, do you?
No, sir.
Yes. Great. Now, budget amendments. So, can I ask you what's up, please?
Well,
what do you have of?
Yeah, I mean, there's just one budget amendment, and this is just to update you. When we had the tornado, apparently there was some damage to the tower that we were unaware of. We were going to make some repairs on the tower recently. We found it out, so we filed a claim with the insurance. We received the money, And we need to do the repairs to get it painted and the lights fixed on it before January so that FAA won't shut our license down in January. So we're asking you, we've received the money. We're just asking you to approve moving it over to the appropriate account so that we can take care of the repairs.
Right. So, move that we approve the amendment to receive the money that we use that purpose. Do it, Mr. Trent. Is this second? Mr. Robinson, all those in favor of approving the budget amendment? Ms. Aye. All those opposed, nay? That's correct. Thank you. And then the last thing is the approval of an increase in the North Carolina Forest Service appropriation by $21,944. This is an issue that we discussed in our last meeting. And I think the decision would have been that we look for ways to find the funds to go forward to give them what they needed. We know they do an outstanding job. We're now in the third in the state for revenue from forest products, so we're very proud of that. Have been first in a lot of years. So the floor is open for approving the end.
I have a question. Yes, where are we taking this from?
No one place has been identified at this point because we provide the appropriation to NC Forest Service on a reimbursement basis, and we have already allocated $127,000. So one place has not been identified at this point. Again, it's something that we, a lot of the time, they don't even use pretty much everything that has been appropriated for them. So again, it's something that we'll determine once that time comes. But at this point, again, it's on a reimbursement basis. So each month they will give us a bill and we will continue to take care of it until it reaches the point where we need a full plunge from somewhere else.
That's a good question. Right. Needless, even at salaries, that's why they can never spend any money that we get each year back. But we also put in our list, maybe that's like, yeah, funds that we could use from some sale of property. So if we needed to, some of that could be in there, which is essentially.
All those in favor of approving the increase in our Forest Service appropriation at $21,944, please say aye. On those opposed, nay. That's seven. Thank you very much. They will appreciate that. I was coming from Williamston to Windsor about a week ago, and it was a brush car that was on the side of the road. It assumed about a couple of acres, and they were giant. But it always goes to Windsor. It's age, one of the people, you know, the personnel that they have, right? And this will allow them to do that. So thank you very much.
Okay, we have one board appointment on the jury commission. And we have Mr. Vernon Lee, who sits on that position now. He has expressed his interest to remain, so is that correct? Is that right?
That is correct.
And do we have any other records on file of other jury?
Not at this time.
Right. So being the only candidate, it is your pleasure in terms of addressing Mr. Lee's request to remain.
So I'm going to
Mr. Bronson first and Mr. Trent is the second. All those in favor of reappointing Vernon Lee to the Jury Commission, please say aye. All those opposed, nay. As have it, he will be reappointed. And Ms. Cartwright, if you could make him aware. Thank you. And the Jury Commission. Great. Now, next on our agenda is an election update. We know that elections are here for municipalities, and we have our director, Mr. Dorian Hill, here.
Yes. All right. I have an old injury, so I'm limping a little bit this morning. Yes, I have. You know what I'm doing. Good to see everyone. Yes, as Commissioner Wesson said, elections are here.
We actually have mail in the office this morning. Our precinct chief judge is picking up their supplies, so they're getting ready for tomorrow. We just want to give you some updates on the upcoming election. Voter registration deadline for this election was October the 13th at 5 o'clock, so that was the registration deadline. Sample ballots are still available in our office on our website, and tomorrow they will be available at our precincts that's open. And with this again being a town election, we do have some of our county precincts that would not be open tomorrow. So those who may be listening, those are here. The ones that are closed are Mary Hill, Indian Woods, Wright's, Snakebite, and Mitchell's One. And that is because those precincts do not have a municipality enclosed in their boundaries. So it's only the towns that's available to vote next year. For absentee voting, one stop early voting for the town of Windsor ended on Saturday, November the 4th at 3 o'clock. And we had a total of 81 voters for the town of Windsor who did one stop early voting. Tomorrow is official election day. Election day is Tuesday, November the 7th. And polls are open from 6:30 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. on tomorrow. Canvas for the municipal election is Friday, November the 17th, and that is when the election is finalized, because during the municipal elections, we do have a lot of contests who may be determined by write-in votes. So that's going to be determined and finalized November the 17th. Tomorrow, when you see the election results out, that's unofficial. And also, I know a lot of people may be looking at the write-in section. It's not going to list the names, because we have to go through each one of the precincts to write the names and see how many votes they got. That's why the state gives every county board of elections offices 10 days to canvass. And then on November 17th, everything will be finalized in terms of that. And also, just want to remind everyone once again, voter photo ID is now in effect. You do have to show ID tomorrow when you go vote to your polls, those who are available to vote tomorrow, such as your driver's license, passport, your state ID, any of those that's acceptable. You have to show those tomorrow. And once again, as always, although voter ID is required, no voter will be turned away from the polls. They will be given a voter photo ID exception form if they do not have that. And then, immediately after the municipal election is finalized, November 17th, we have to start preparing for the 2024 primary election. All right, so we don't get a break. We keep right on. Okay. All right. So so after November the 17th, that's when we'll start preparing for our filing. We do have filing for the 2024 primary, which will begin December the 4th at 12 p.m. and we'll end on Friday, December 15th at 12 o'clock. And filing fees are acceptable only by check or money order. And I've already gotten with HR Director Tori Harrell in terms of the register deeds, because we do have our local offices that's up as well. County Commissioner District 1. That's our chairman, Chairman Weston's seat, and also our County Commissioner District 4, which is Commissioner Trent's seats as well, and also Register Deeds. Those are three local offices that's up, and the filing fees are determined by 1% of the starting salary. So last week, I did talk with our HR Director, Victoria Harrell, in terms of the starting salary for Register Deeds. And LaShawn, if you would give me to probably Thursday. I will try to tell you about it. So about the salaries of the commissioners. Okay, so those are to be determined by the starting salary of those officers. And also, we do have some state offices as well, the NC Senate and NC House. Those are fees are determined by statute 165, general statute 163, And that term, that price is $139.51. So whoever wants to file for those two seats, that is $139.51, and that is determined by general statute 163. So that fee will not change. Also, the North Carolina State Board of Elections will also provide further documentation on filing November the 13th. So they sent us an email about that, because they too are still trying to make sure everything is good to go with this municipal election. And another thing I want to update you all about, new district boundaries. We will have new district boundaries for the 2024 election season that will have to be updated before the primary. So once again, this is finalized on November 17th. We do have to implement those new district lines. And that's for our congressional districts, NC House and NC Senate. And once again, the state board will give us information after November 17th on that as well. So if I may ask if I can come back in December. At your meeting, so I will have further information on all of these new implementations that's coming forth. All right? Okay. Thank you. And does anyone have any questions?
I just want to make a statement.
I appreciate it, Commissioner. Thank you.
Explain the update, the information so willing to make it so understanding. I just want to take a moment in public.
Thank you so much, Commissioner. I do appreciate it.
We'd like to recognize the that you have your chair.
I
did. Who's with us, which is always emphasized. I was doing a wonderful job. Let me say this though, when you come back, I'd really be interested to know what was the
receptivity, the voter ID law, and how those things were handled. And you guys done a great job of informing the public so they are well aware. And even when a person does not have one, they can go to you. I know that's lockout time now, but they actually get a voter ID. And when citizens show up, they don't have an ID, they can still vote, right? But then they have to come back within the right period of time to be able to produce identification. And thank you. Let me say also, too, because, and most of you, I think, know this, but I am up for re-election next year, and I have already, informed the public that I am not running for re-election, and I want to make that clear. And not because of, I love this job. It's been tremendous, but 12 years for me. And I think it's an opportunity for someone else to come and serve. But I will still be here and still supporting this county. It's the best I'm going to do. So I make that clear. I get some good representation, but district. So thank you. Thank you.
Okay.
We also now have a representative. Superintendent of our water department, Mr. Ricky Spivey. Good morning, sir.
That's funny. That's hilarious.
Thank you.
I don't know who I
Now I know somebody that's my general purpose.
Exactly. And thank you for that, Superintendent Spivey. And so what he's explaining is a result of a MUNIS upgrade that I think you all were aware of. And so, Superintendent, if you would just speak a little bit about, for citizens who may be wondering if they will have any late fees as a result of not getting a water bill and that type thing.
Yeah, all right.
How soon do you think that? We should be able to have those fixed within the time. Will we still be able to add the information that we have concerning the breakdown of fees and stuff?
Yes.
That will still, it will still appear in that similar kind of section? Does it look in similar?
This is, that's, it's not a tax bill, Chairman. Right. Know, it's, excuse what, me. This is water bill. Yes, sir.
Will we use this, didn't we use that section to put some additional information?
Yes. Use that section for the
what do we need to put anything on the county site so the people coming to our site can know what we're doing and when the corrections will be made, etc.?
Yes, I can do that.
And with the upgrade out there, do we need to approve any additional funds to make it happen? That's fine. As long as we get it done, you know what we need to get the job done. That's what we're here for. We've got to be taken care of.
Well, Mr. Spivey, we do need to bill out some enforcement with money.
That's right.
Is there anything else that we should be doing to notify? I mean, I know that some people have come forward, right, and asked, but I'm sure that means that there are others out here who still have questions or have not called in. Not. Well, but we do have one other source that we don't, not just Facebook, but we have the ability to send a call to everybody who's registered with us. A 30-second message, a very quick gift that we could send out. But that's being proactive, that we should be able to do that. Let folks know. Just record the message. You can select the time. It will send it multiple times until someone answers, or you know, answering service comes on and it'll leave the message. And that's a good way to do it, as well as using our local newspapers to make sure we have to cover the county. Let's make sure we do that.
Mr. Spivey, everybody's bill is not prepared, though, correct?
Just for.
Right. I'm saying some people can get their bill to pay it, and some cannot get it. So we were just talking about that recently, and I spoke with our utility business manager, Mr. Jones here, who was explaining that because you know how you do with, we do like what is 1 and 3 and then 2 and 4. And so I think bills were the first group to was delayed was 1 and 3, I believe, right? So those bills were ready, but because bills hadn't gone out or weren't prepared yet for 2 and 4, some of those customers were calling in and they were told their bills weren't ready. And that's because it wasn't time for them yet. They're delayed. I'm just saying, I know people that have called in and they don't know your people, like the water department is saying, we don't have your bill ready yet. So that's just beware when your message goes out that some people could call and when they get, we don't know how much you owe. Okay. I'm trying to like be very okay. Today even.
Before you leave, I know Commissioner Trent has a question too.
Ms. Bobby, how are we looking at the line updates West Bogotie County to be more
schedule?
And just to let everybody know, that was a $5 million grant that was signed off in October last year for that year.
Right now, everything is
getting on schedule. Lines are going in, they'll be large enough to supply more homes that are when they have their other future development.
Yes, those roads that get closed right now actually have two upgrades, six, nothing small amount. That's the BBC.
Down Martin Luther King and across Harvard Street, that area to be increased to 6 inch buildings.
And back to Martin Luther King, town was sometime back in upgrade 6 inches.
If I can tell you, we did South Windsor, the same thing with 6 inch line. The expectation that some in landowners had is that because you update the line, that means you're going to get the additional pressure. That is not necessarily the case. You have to, unless you update your line directly to that 6 inch line, you don't get increased pressure, right? So we need to make citizens make sure they're aware of that, right?
Now, yeah. Down Harvard Street, is that going to have the upgraded lines also 6 inch lines?
Yeah, on the street, there anything that's 6 inch lines.
What about additional hydrants? This is a grant you apply today because we took over the for the city of Lewiston, and so part of taking it over is to really remap it together as we take the South Windsor down to other sections. The age of it and the, you know, where it allowed us to be able to pocket those grants and get moving. That's a whole different thing. But again, you know, that's being proactive, right? We knew that that was an area of development, right? So we made sure that when we applied for the funding, we took that east west and east, and again, so trying to be proactive. Thank you.
Ms. Bobby.
Yes, sir.
I like the public to know this, and the commissions here already know this, and the manager, that your department does an outstanding job. Exactly. Yeah, please do, because I felt so great about your stuff last month. The great job they was doing. I brought them donuts. Okay. Yeah. Okay, sure they shared that note with you.
So you don't feel great. You don't feel great about me.
Commissioner Bowles, you pass on
note. Oh, gotta step up. Gotta take my time. Thank you very much. But I think we all share those conversations, obviously.
Next, we have a financial summary update from Director Scarborough.
Before we get out of here, I want to say one quick thing. I think we need to get out of here.
You got it, right? All right, good deal. Okay, good deal.
Revenue is always important. We know it's going to come, but the expenses we are right slightly ahead of, which is a good thing. Right? We're getting expenses in. We know that the revenue is coming. I do have before we get to water. I do have one question that I'm still not absolutely crystal clear on how this fluctuates. But I see the NC Capital Management Trust, and I see it increase somewhere around $500,000. I don't know if that's a good thing. If it's a positive thing. What that is. Can you give us some understanding of why that fluctuates, how that fluctuates?
It fluctuates because the NSA is
we control that flow of funds in there, right? So that enables us then as we get near the end of the year, right, to know where we are. How does it affect, let's say that if we had funds sitting in that fund at the end of the year that we have not used, how does that affect the fund balance? Does it at all? That's an important question, because we want to make sure. Too many times we've been caught either having uncollected funds or have funds perhaps set and holding that do in fact, you know, address our fund balance. I want to make sure that that's not the case. We want to make sure that nothing prohibiting funds, restricted funds that we don't count enough on balance as we get close to the like uncollected things.
Just going to be real. My big deal is we've got draws to it. Yeah, take large draws like $700,000-$800,000 to finalize the year end budget. It was tight, but it was still more than that, right? So, you know.
And it's just managing it, knowing that that's when the year is going to close, to make sure that there are funds that would normally account in fund balance if they were not, if they were elsewhere, perhaps, or had been collected. And I understand that's not all within our, ability to control everything that is in fact collected, but we know that it's a significant outstanding amount, right?
Yes, sir. I'm not sure if this answers your question, but the fund balance will capture all of the available cash that we have on hand at that particular time.
Even if we moved it to a fund like this, which is a trust fund, it still counts. So the management trust, that's what it is, capital trust.
Yeah. I say these are all cash on hand. These are not the fund balance at all. So that's not fund balance. This is not fund balance.
Whatever's left of this would
would go to the fund balance.
That's right. Right.
I just want to make sure that everything in any cash fund does in fact count. It does not something as like restricted, so they don't count it. Okay. And because it's counted in cash, all cash is in the fund balance.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you.
All right, there's one item I'd like to add to the agenda. If I could please get your approval to do this. Ms. Terry Harrell would like to give us an update on the reclassification of the administrative office we wanted to discuss for DSS. Do I have your permission to add and bring that up to you?
Please do.
Well, thank sure. you, sir. Good morning. Good morning.
That's right. I serve on the Department of Social Service Board. Ms. Surgeon, Melanie Surgeon, has done an outstanding job when we was in. Without a director, she still kept the department together. She deserved administrative officer three position to get the head. Okay.
There you go.
Yeah. Yes. So. Commissioners, if the motion would just be to add administrative officer two to our pay classification.
Yeah. You heard the.
I'll make the motion.
The motion, great. So, all those in favor of adding that administrative officer two classification, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. Ayes have it. Thank you very much. Thank you. All right. Next on our agenda is discussion of the opioid settlement funds meeting. This is County Manager Bob.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. Commissioners, you all should have a copy of an email that was received from the opioid settlement at unc.edu. And pretty much what it does is informs us or reminds us that
we must annual meeting
with the public. Where we would, of course, have the commissioners invite all the towns, and there has to be some discussion
about how those funds will be used, opioid settlement funds. And so at this point, we need to have one before the end of this calendar year. We also need to have another before the end of this fiscal year. So we'll have one next calendar year, but if we can schedule one, we must schedule one at the before the end of this calendar year. And I would just like to propose doing it the week of, and perhaps maybe on December 11th, before the holidays. We have a commissioner's meeting on December 4th, but the guidance we've been encouraged to keep them separate because it's not necessarily, you know, something that should be driven one particular way by commissioners or municipality. Of course, we want everyone there. We just want input from everyone. So it's been encouraged or suggested that we have it in a separate meeting. And again, we're talking about the time of a commissioner's meeting. So I would say about 6 o'clock, it would be in the afternoon to allow as many people, as many municipalities, commissioners, citizens, everyone.
The 11th
is on Monday.
Monday, and our regular schedule will be for December is when?
December 4th.
Four. I like that because it gives us a chance to actually talk about something, how we're going to actually, you know, cover that being with citizens. I think the public needs to understand that Bergen County was one of the original litigants in the opioid settlement, one of the original for the state. And because of our activity, a lot of those who work for the whole state now going to receive significant money in terms of the opioid settlement. So we were on the cutting edge of this. A lot of us who very active in the State Commission Association pushing for this, and so it really is a pillar act. We believe this charge that millions of dollars will come to North Carolina counties for helping make the changes in terms of better opioid and the treatment and things like that. So we have to put together a plan in terms of how we're going to look to to spend this money. We'll get these funds over where 15 years of
yes.
First of all, we have received so far.
Do you have that?
About 89,000.
So we have a certain fund set up there, right?
Sure.
We have a certain fund set up.
We do.
Because we have no idea how we can do it before we go out.
Correct.
Be more funds still to come.
Yes, sir.
So,
yes, sir.
We need to be prepared for that. And I would suggest that we not only order this on citizens, but make sure that we invite some of the key stakeholders.
Absolutely.
You know, with the best PCU health,
what trillion.
Trillion, what other important human services that supports us, rural health, all of the
yes.
stakeholders.
So absolutely.
Make sure that they're included in what we can do.
Yes.
Right. And we need to invite some experts to the center, some of these associations.
Absolutely. Yes. And so if everyone is on board with that, we'll move forward with advertising and inviting the stakeholders that you mentioned. December 11th, 6 o'clock p.m. at the community meeting room at the Cooperative Extension in Mercer County Library.
Can we get a list of what this money could be used for, could not be used for, so we don't go in there?
Absolutely, yes. And I have a meeting with someone from the association on Wednesday, along with our strategic project coordinator, who we contracted with the association to have, and his name is Taylor Chesson, and he's playing a vital part in this. And so we have a meeting on Wednesday, but so far the guidance has been, it's kind of broad, but again, we're gonna try to get as much as we can, about as long as it can be used to combat the opioid epidemic. It's told to us that it's allowable. However, we're gonna continue learning as much as we can to make sure they expend it appropriately.
And at this meeting, perhaps we might need to have someone for us to give us some advice, like what we actually, we are very aware of it.
We currently have $116,000.
And if some great ideas out there that are already being put in place through other counties, we can learn from them as well. We recommend that association down with and bring that expert for us.
Yes, sir.
All right, great. So that's it for before we go into closed session. So we do open the floor again for any public comment from citizens before we go into the public session. Yeah, I'm heard.
Good man, please. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Mr. Rogers, and so I figured I would say that for them. It is just a pleasure to see all of you in Memphis. It has been an incredible time in the county and the surrounding counties. Just wanted to take a moment to thank the board officially for all of your support of the Film Festival. It was an incredible experience. Wow, and we're already at it again. However, I did want to bring some things to give to those of you that were not there. So if it's okay, I can even give it to the county manager. I can just approach. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much.
There's a magazine that interviewed myself and Chairman Wilson last year called This Is the Magazine.
Yes, sir.
They have about 800,000 subscribers. And I was chairman at that time, and they just interviewed us, I think, 3 weeks ago, and again, we brought up here at Film Festival, and we threw it out there, and we had to make sure that 800,000 people in the United States can live with that, and knowing that is something that we're supporting, something we think that
we're
trying to get off the ground to the point where it's not just walking, but it's running.
Oh my gosh.
So again, it's going to be they have 800,000 subscribers, and it's going to be certainly a good brand. They came back to us the second time.
And so many of our partners have sponsoring that too.
Oh my gosh.
For what we're doing.
And I was, you know, for a magazine like that, they come to Berkeley County interview people that are in leadership.
Yes.
A whole group there. Okay. Make a long story short, they have focused on what we're doing with this fully different thing, this kind of interactive, and what we learn from producing and how fast we're doing that. So, inspiration and just the creativity, all ideas, yours, and the people who are working with you. And it was tremendous. So, we had a chance to go out and walk the red carpet and see all the films, and I mean, it was tremendous.
Thank you so much. Well, you know, it's the many hands that lift the vision. And so, the good Lord just happened to. Not on me, my bathroom a year ago said, your work is not done in the county. I just got back to all of my bones. And I'm like, what are you talking about? So it was an incredible this morning, like a man that I live in the country, but I can say this to you, it was a many hands that lifted the vision in plain sight. And I'm just grateful for all the hands, like Michael and the rest of you, that lifted that vision. And so I would like to share, and then if it's okay, make a couple of quick comments. You were there, Commissioner. You get better. You also were there.
Thank you.
So you guys have like the remnants, but like the last things that are left. But I held on to the things for all of you. I again, I want to say thank you, all of you. We had folks from all over the country, as far away as Texas. And I wish that Mayor Hoggett was here to tell that story. He tells it the best about the gentleman that's about 6'3", white male, looked just like a Texan, dressed in his boots, dressed in all of his garb. And we were at the event, so you dressed up like your favorite star on that Sunday. And we thought the gentleman was just dressing up for the event. So he turns around and says, "Nice outfit." And he goes, "What are you talking about? This is my husband, Daniel." Because father was Texas and California, New York and Jersey and Philly and Baltimore and Washington, D.C., Raleigh. I mean, they were all over. And let me tell you, and I have to tell this story, and I'm going to do it without sharing it here, I guarantee you. If you give me just a moment, I really need to tell this story, the power of many hands. I'd gotten about 3 to 4 hours of sleep 3 days in a row from Friday to Sunday. And Sunday, I get up, and it's like 5:30 in the morning, and I had not finished the script to introduce all the winners. And so I ran to the office, writing out, you know, trying to write the scripts, make a long story short, get to the theater at 11, and now it's about 15 minutes to 1, and everything starts at 1. And my house things start on time. Sorry. I don't delay if it's only one person. I was talking about my theater director years ago. And when I stood up and looked at my script, it was all over. The script was all over. And I was so exhausted. I looked at my team and I said, "I have nothing else to give all of you. I have nothing else. I am tired." And they looked at me and they pulled out a chair and they sat me down and they said, "We got you." And I'm telling you, if you were sitting there that Sunday, you would never know that no one had a clue what was going on because all the scriptures messed up. And so what we did is we did one at a time. They just did it one at a time. Just one at a time. The goal was, let's make it through one at a time and it wasn't me, it was them, because I had nothing to give. So I just wanted to tell all of you, when I say that it takes the many hands to raise the vision, I am really serious, because I've never in my professional career ever been at that point where the script was just wrong. The scripts were just wrong. I'd written it, put it together. Whatever I did, it was just all like,
And I sat in that chair, and I've never received so much love in my life. With people who knew that what was happening just came back and loved on me and hugged me and said, it's okay. It's going to work. We'll make it work. So I just had to share that. But yes, it was absolutely fascinating. And this county played a huge role in making sure that that film festival happened. Because you said yes to so many things. Without that, the film festival could not have lifted and hovered in places no one ever dreamed. And most importantly, the more I travel this country, the more people tell me that it was a virtual impossibility for us to pull off what we did. They all said filmmaking and film festivals are not from communities like ours, tier one communities. They're from communities that have lots and lots. And so I was in a meeting with one of the filmmakers 2 weeks ago, and she's from Chicago. The one of it was me, and she flies in her crew, and she said to me, we need to know how you do that. I said, did what? How did you make it work? And I'm perplexed, because she's been in this world. I said, make what work? She said, remember, film festivals do not attract local people. She said, film festivals stretch, and they attract investors and industry professionals who are looking to invest. But for some reason or somehow, how did you get the community just to come out and support? And I did not know that film festivals basically only had the big, you know, I knew the industry people showed up, and that just elevated Berkeley County, you guys, to a whole nother level that everyday people came out, and there's a lot to be done. The last thing I want to say to all of you is I want to make two comments. One, I will be submitting a proposal for support next year, along with a lot of other folks, and there are proposals as well. And two, I'm hopeful that the Northeast North Carolina Regional Film Commission will begin to gain some momentum. And as a reminder, the primary function of a film commission includes location scouting. I'm already planning for those filmmakers to tour Berkeley County, y'all, especially the Tall Glass of Water. Oh my gracious, that place is so beautiful. I was there a few months ago, and I just cannot put in words how amazing it was. So, but location scouting, permits and regulations. I've got filmmakers calling about, you know, hunting fields and all kinds of places in the county. We can shoot, who will allow us? And local resources, community relations, incentives, marketing, economic impact, advocacy, and education industry support. Lastly, I want to invite all of you to come to a reception on Saturday from 6 to 7:15. Jen West, who's a producer director out of Atlanta, without charging us a dime other than a one hotel stay, she's going to come in from Atlanta to do a whole pitch deck session with our filmmakers, including churches who have media departments. You know, they got to understand this is not just film. Anyone who can film, TikTok, all of it. And it's free. She is a specialist. And we invite you to come to a reception for her from 6 to 7:15, just an hour and 15 minutes at the community college in Berkeley County. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Not only in Charlotte, but she's going to come and drive in so that she can do that. Mr. Chairman, commissioners, all of you, thank you so much again for all of your support, all of your love, just all of you willing to stand with this vision. We can do this. We're already doing it. And I thank you so kindly for all of your support and all of your faith in this. Thank you so much.
The victory was not just that this was done, it was the deed itself, but the way that it was done.
Yes.
The beauty of it. The organization was outstanding. And that's what people really, really love, how well it was done. You know?
September 13th, 14th, and 15th next year.
All right. Any other public comments, please? Yeah.
Lenita Thompson, Corrine, North Carolina. But, I'm the Agent Services Coordinator. Just want to say thank you for making
Berkeley County and success. I just want to say, and quite sure you know, that I'll be retiring. This end of this month will be the last for me. I'll be 3 months short of 29 years for Berkeley County, and I worked for Board of Education for 3 years, and I worked for the federal government. So it's kind of time now for me to settle down. It's a couple of things going on in my life that I need to make some changes. So, but I hate to go. Because I love my babies, which my senior citizens are my babies, you know. But I will be, they'll call me back sometimes just to come by and sit down with them. But I just wanted to say this, all y'all are special to me. You all are new, but I've been with you all a lot of years. And some people said to me years ago, and I just told somebody the other day about it, that you spoke to me about 10 years ago. Well, it might not have been 10, but some years back about I was being rude. So you came to my office and I was fearful because you came to my office, but you wouldn't do something from me, but I didn't know that. And you spoke to me and you said, do not fear, talking to the commissioners. You said, do not fear. He said, you said, come with what you know. Yes. Yes. So, and I appreciate that, but I enjoy all of you all, and I've been with you for a long time. But I really appreciate it. I enjoyed, I'm really short term with you too, but I really enjoyed working for the county. But I'll be here through the end of the month. And I just wanted to come and say that I truly enjoyed Berkeley County. And I love y'all. Yes.
They love you.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
One thing we can never change out the food services or senior centers.
I probably have our senior Christmas party on December 15th. So I'll try to go ahead and get that something out to y'all if y'all would like to come. Just let us know. I'm coming back for that. But I really have enjoyed, and I know I miss it, but thank y'all for everyone.
So the last time, hopefully you see my space, but I would just like to get an update, if there is any, on the potential for ambulance service at Midway and or another firehouse out towards the Ocana community. As you know, we've grown. We've probably tripled over the last 3 or 4 years. We have probably, I think it's about 22 new rooftops there. With the projection of maybe 4 or 5 more homes being built in the community within the next year, year and a half.
Well, a couple of things. You know, one of the grants that we had received in excess of $12 million in grants in the first 3 months of this year, one of those grants is for us to have a new emergency response center in the western portion of the county in the Lewiston area, because we can do our major employer. And to have one in the eastern part of our county, because we know there's a lot of growth in that area. But in addition to even building those two stations, we also have plans to also help support the other stations in transportation equipment, and the Big Mary Hill is one of those that we have plans for. So we have not baked all of the fine things out, but we have acquired the funds to be able to do exactly, I think, what you
need. That would be great, because I
this is North Carolina State budget.
Okay.
We have never even awarded this kind of money before. And talking about the Western Georgia County areas, as economic power, you got the Purdue, you got the Valley Proteins, the Canal. You've got CO2 capture plants, methane capture plants, all these things that are capabilities of trying to fight fires, thank you for this paper. North Carolina Senate and House have awarded us $5.5 million.
Okay.
Okay. Making two But this is really one of the scary things. One of the things with our lobbyists that we put in that we need desperately, they have come through for us.
Okay, well, the O'Connell team is stepping up and saying that we would really, really appreciate it. I mean, our closest ambulance is either Edenton, Coleraine, or Windsor. And most of the time, they come from Windsor. That's a pretty big distance. And then our insurance for our homeowners is almost doubled because just so happens we are just a few miles, Midway is just a few miles outside of the range for homeowners insurance.
All of those things, all of those needs, are the reason that we're able to get
awesome.
They made the request
that's
based
awesome.
On the needs we have in the Metro Department and in the eastern part of the county. And so you'll be hearing a lot more. We're waiting now on the fine detail. We have the money.
Awesome.
Given to us, and it's without any matching dollars. This is a direct appropriation from the legislature. And we went and we made our case before the committees.
Thank you.
Abundance.
Thank you.
So we did our homework and they recognized that. And they just give tremendous, we do all the things you just said.
That's amazing. Thank you. Thank you.
Could I just share something? We're neighbors. My wife and I live in Ocano. It's my wife, Jamie. I'm Brad Kernis. And this is a real life example of why this is important. We moved her mom up from Florida to be closer to us. And she was having some health challenges. And unfortunately, there was an emergency in which I had to call 911. And I don't know if you're aware of this, but when we call 911, it doesn't go to the dispatch in Bertie. It goes to the dispatch in Edenton. And then it goes to, in this case, Windsor. This is an 88-year-old woman who was having severe health problems and needed to get to the emergency room. And I waited for at least 30 minutes for this emergency crew to show up. And, she ended up going to the hospital in Edenton and then to Greenville. And, you know, unfortunately, she passed. But it's real life. I mean, this is not a good thing when it takes 30 plus minutes to get your EMS crew on site. So, you know, it's great that you have been given this grant. Now we need to get, you know, as they say, shovel in the ground and something that actually makes it to where it's not 30 minutes, it's, you know, 5, 10, 15 minutes. So,
yeah, I would agree. That's it. Again, part of the, you know, it's just an occasion for being able to get the funds into just that, to be able to say it's truly needed.
Yes. Right?
But I'm saying too that, you know, we're trying to do front street. You know, Bergen County is the first county in the state of North Carolina. They have a licensed paramedic when they're in the group of parents. So, do it. Tier one county, like the Bertie, it's putting those resources in place for its citizens, if you would. But they're your, but they are those kinds of, I won't say corner, things that we knew still not coverage, but we went after the funds to make that happen so that that burden would not have to be one out of time. This is a direct appropriation from the state government to be able to.
Fantastic.
10 years ago, it was all volunteer. It was basic.
Yep.
It wasn't paramedic. It wasn't intermediate. Okay. And we made the change 10 years ago. And that looks to this paramedic system of the province and nation, including Bergen County. And to make the change, including people Bergen County, so it's clear. Martin County, Burford County, Burford County is just going to move forward. Martin County, to deal.
We've created the Martin
County.
From the state, in fact, states following our model.
All around the state.
Thank you. Yeah. Okay, question. What time frame are you speaking of now that we have the money appropriate? You know, is it 6 months, a year, 2 years? Do you have any idea?
I wouldn't say it's a couple of years, but it's hard to say until the budget was just approved less than a month. Right, so we know we have the funds. We're waiting now on specifics we know the general nature of how we spend the money, but it has to be very specific. So we're going to get an update from our, and
economic development consultant on just that, right? But and we'll keep you posted. But okay. we're going to move on just as quickly as we possibly can, right? But it's not going to be years in the making, but it will take some time. It will take some time. But kind of the way we do it, not only are we building a new center, but the existing station in Merritt Hill will get additional resources, right? That's the one it's supposed to do now.
Yeah,
but
right.
If we build something, the new station is going to be even that much better.
Yeah,
we're closing the gaps all the way around. We did it with the water systems, we did it with infrastructure, EMS, and now we're closing the gap with the infrastructure also.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank
you.
Thank
you. Goodness.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. With that, I understand a motion to go into those sessions. Mr. Trent, Mr. Robson, all those that are in favor, please say aye. All those opposed, nay. Ayes have it. Thank you. So, Joe, we're all back. Thank you. Thanks for being patient. We're back in open session.
Okay. So, commissioners, during the first week of December, we celebrate Employee Appreciation Month. And historically, we've had a luncheon where all staff would come and we would have lunch and give out service awards based on the number of years employees had been with the county, 5, 10, 15, et cetera. And for the past few years, though, we have given out gift cards to each employee in the amount of $20 to $25 so that they can have lunch at their favorite Bertie County eatery. However, at a recent department head meeting, we were discussing what department heads would like and what they thought their employees would like, and it was suggested that it was time for us to come back together. So that being said, we are have been looking at the best location would be Chiefs because of the status of the Cash App Convention Center. So that being said, we have made contact with Chief, and we're also getting some quotes. Consensus is they love the ribeye steaks that we usually have, so we want to move forward with those. And so the only issue is prices have gone up. And so that's a slight concern. And usually this is purchased with from the line item of miscellaneous and governing bodies budget. And a lot of activity that has gone on in that particular line item has to do with the auction that we're currently having, some advertisements, surveys, and things like that. So all that is to say, just want to get your feedback on that. I think we're all set to move forward with that. Again, after the sale, we may need to do some adjustments with the budget to account for that, but it's well worth it. I think our employees deserve it and need to know how much they are appreciated.
It's good to know that they want to come back. And
have yes.
That.
Yes.
That's a very important thing. Now, when the past years, I mean, the only place I ever remember was I've been doing it, we did a cash estimate maybe a couple of times, but we also did it since.
That was my understanding, and that happened before we brought on all the EMS employees. So at this point, I was told that we kind of outgrew that. And so when we moved it from the senior center, it went to Cash App Convention Center. And the only other place outside of the senior center, to my knowledge, would be Chiefs to hold that number.
We have that number. That's right. But I wouldn't want to, you know, I mean, you know, everything's possible, but this is important. So we have
to skip on
it. You deserve it. So I have to probably also interview with us in entertainment, there's games, and have a lot of other things. So maybe we can one thing.
Yes, sir.
So
third usually is on the first Thursday in December. It's in conjunction with the Windsor Christmas Parade. So we usually dismiss around 12 o'clock. Have the luncheon at about 12:30, and we get out in time enough so that everyone can make the parade, which usually starts at 3 o'clock. I'm not 100% sure about this year, but it usually starts at 3 o'clock, and so we have the luncheon and then leave so that everyone can attend the Windsor parade. Yes, and of course the commissioners are invited.
Well, I truly appreciate it. I appreciate you for having the deal. Department heads for the appreciation day and put the time in because they are truly appreciated by Ron Robinson, Commissioner, and I'm sure the other commissioner feels the same way. And
You know, we don't need to be looking at calls. Just to have fun and have good time.
Yes, sir. Good to go. Anything else?
Well, that's all I
have. Well, again, thank you very much, citizens who've paid on for it, and maybe it's now June.